If you're like myself, it's hard to focus sometimes with so many thoughts and so many feelings, so many distractions that seem to take us away from what is central. And yet today, this afternoon, at this moment, we gather together to focus our distracted and fragmented lives on a great tragedy that's happening in our midst. Not on our land, but in our midst, in our time. Grievances like this, tragedies like this, are bad enough on their own. But in the same way that in Africa, between the Hutus and the Tutsis, it's worse when they're between Christians. They take on an epidemic proportion. And they should make us pause. They should make us go to our knees and to say, what is it that we believe anyway? The gospel passage that was chosen today are the words on the Mother of God, commonly called the Magnificat. And I think that they're a great reflection for us to say in our own lives, is this explanation how we live our lives, and is this how our world is called to respond? She begins by saying, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Anything that we do and live and move and have our being, as the scriptures tell us, should be giving God glory. There is no glory in what's happening right now at all. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Now, last I checked, we don't save ourselves. We need a Savior. And war and killing is an exact opposite of that. People trying to save themselves. But Christians still believe in a Savior, huh? For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. Servanthood places us in the lowest place. We heard the prodigal son, those of us in some of our lectionaries today. But servanthood and lowliness assumes always the good of the other. Might does not make right in servanthood and lowliness. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. We're blessed because of our relationship with God, blessed not by our own striving, not by our own efforts, but by the grace of God. He has done great things for me, and how easy is it for all peoples to forget what God has done? When we forget what God has done for us, our world becomes very small, and all we see is what we want and what we think we need, but not the blessedness that we're called to live out of. He has mercy on those who fear him. We cannot know mercy if we don't stop to think about the mercy that's first been granted to us. I think about the consciences of a lot of those young Russian soldiers that we hear some reports, at least on the BBC and some of the other networks, who don't know why they're there, who don't understand what this is about, who are probably being told just to follow orders, which happened in Nazi Germany as well, just following orders. No realization of the mercy that's first been given them that they in turn are supposed to give with others. He has shown the strength of his arm. The kind of power and the strength that comes to us from the scriptures is a perspective. It's not force. It's a perspective that uses that strength for the protection and the gathering of others, not the destruction of others. Our world certainly has known in the past the terminology of the just war theory. We've probably all been schooled in that a little bit, that said, well, generally war is bad, but there are certain situations that it's okay. There's nothing just about this. Because those who are taking the licking the most are the poor and the vulnerable. He has scattered the proud and their conceit. He scattered the proud and their conceit. We have a saying that says, pride goes before the fall. But it's when we as human beings are so full of ourselves that that defines our world, and we forget that it isn't our world. It doesn't belong to us. We are just passing through. And when we forget that, grievous things happen. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. When will we as human beings remember the lessons of history? The generations, the kingdoms that have fallen, that thought they would be here forever. And yet, many times, and we're seeing it again now, we charge on as if the world is ours, the plan is ours, and the future belongs to the strongest. But Mary says, he has lifted up the lowly. The whole message of the gospel, the whole message of the good news is not for the rank and file, not for the rich and powerful, but always for those at the margins, those who are most vulnerable. The most vulnerable are paying the highest cost right now, through no fault of their own. The hungry he has filled with good things. Good things are not leftovers. Many times in this life we're concerned that that's all that's be left. If we don't take care of ourselves, all we'll get is the leftovers. The scriptures tell us the hungry will be filled with good things. Good things, choicest and best. God's lavishness is never to be outdone. The rich he has sent away empty. He never said it was bad. He said it was dangerous. It's dangerous because it disconnects us from our need. Christ alone is our need. And anything that makes us more comfortable, more detached, less dependent on others, should at the very least be suspicious in our lives, if not to be avoided. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he remembered his promise of mercy, the promise made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. What's the one word that describes that? The covenant. The covenant. Nowadays we say the relationship. The relationship. Someone said not too long ago, I don't like to talk about relationship all the time. I'm more interested in history. Jesus didn't come to teach history. He came to establish relationship, to keep us in relationship with he and the Father, to keep us in relationship with each other, to reconcile us, as we heard in the second reading in some of our lectionaries this morning, the ministry of reconciliation, bringing together. Division and destruction I'm convinced, will pay the dearest price on Judgment Day. We may not be very successful at times about gathering together and healing, but God will certainly honor the will of our hearts in what we tried to accomplish. But woe to us who divide and destroy. The covenant that we have been brought into is, I will be your God if you will be my people. But God will always be our God. Our choice is whether or not we're going to be his people. The people of Ukraine who are suffering so terribly right now and is somewhat connected to the Orthodox faith should give us pause to pray. Somehow they have lost what the message of the gospel is all about. Even in the most orthodox or traditional of settings. But don't just look at them over there, or over there, wherever it is. Because that begins in our own hearts. The season of Lent is always a time for us to examine those divisions, the destruction that happens in our thoughts, in our words, and even sometimes in our deeds. So maybe we're not removed so far from that tragedy right now, except by a sense of relationship, by a degree of involvement. Lest we sit in our own self-righteous thrones, we ask God to help us to continue to examine our own hearts, that those seeds don't grow in us, and that we take out those little seedlings, those little weeds, before they grow. The humility and the grace of God that comes into our lives will help protect us from that. As we continue with our prayer today, and not just today, but as we move forward in these days, let us do whatever we need to do to keep this in front of us. It should disturb us. It should threaten our peace and not cause us to wring our hands and be anxious, but to drive us deeper into prayer and ask Christ to continue to be Lord of a pretty hopeless situation at this time. We pray that the people of Ukraine keep their hope focused in Christ alone. For them and for us, it's our only salvation. May God bless us and hear our cry. Amen.